It's free lawyer time. Karen Conti is on. It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
And we'll get to staff criminal Mary Sandberg's case in just a second. Before we do that, however, at 641, Karen Conti in on a very busy legal week at Conti, at K Conti Law, I should say. That's K-C-O-N-T-I, at K Conti Law, is where you'd find her on social media. And K-Conti at kcontilaw.com is the email, I believe, right?
That's right.
All right. I'm smarter than I look. Phone number at the office?
312-332-7800.
All right. So what are your thoughts on the Supreme Court situation? Take the politics out of it. As far as a judicial appointment goes, who's got the inside track here?
Well, you know, there's a bunch of them. You know, if you look on the web, everyone's got their favorites. Loretta Lynch is up there. Apparently, her name is being batted around, our U.S. attorney. There's a bunch of people. Usually where we get our Supreme Court justices these days is the D.C. Circuit, meaning they've already been judges in the D.C. area. And they get appointed from all over. And there's a bunch of good ones. There's a guy named, I can't pronounce his name, S-R-I is his first name, S-R-I-V-A-N-A. He's the one who is really being talked about. And he worked both for conservative justices like Sandra Day O'Connor and also worked on some liberal issues. So, you know, some of these people are being talked about, I think, because they might appeal to both sides of the aisle.
Now, these judges are supposed to be, as all judges are supposed to be, impartial, but they're appointed by administrations with a particular point of view, which is why the court is always referred to as having X number of liberal judges and X number of conservative judges. But in the case of, for instance, the Obamacare ruling, the Affordable Care Act ruling, John Roberts, a conservative judge, voted on the side of the Obamacare argument. So it's not out of the question that the whoever is appointed is going to go in the opposite direction of those who believe they had one on their team. So are we overblowing this argument? Are we giving the judges enough credit for being impartial, or do we have to consider who they are and who they were before they were appointed?
Listen, you can't take away someone's upbringing. You can't take away someone's prejudices and biases. You can't. You just can't do that with anybody, let alone a judge. But they are bound to follow precedent. They're bound to do certain things. And some of these people have been judges, and they've worked on both sides. There's one particular judge who's up for consideration who's worked against gay marriage but was on the side of Gore in the Bush versus Gore case. So, you know, those aren't issues that judges come to the table and go, I'm liberal. I'm going to vote with the liberals. That's not the way they react. They look at the law. They analyze the law. And sometimes that puts them on the other side of what they would want from a ideological standpoint. So I think we are blowing that up a little bit too much. But again, we still have to understand where people come from. If you're a woman or you're a minority, you grew up in poverty, those are going to be things that stay with you when you're making decisions.
Karen, are we also blowing up the fact that if the appointment stalls and there are just eight justices, is that a horrible thing? I know it'll be, yes, for more than a year, realistically, but what about the trickle-down effect for cases on hold, including that the union case, the union rights case?
There's a bunch of really important cases that are pending right now, and if there are eight judges and there is a tie, which could very likely be the case because of the makeup of the court right now, that tie would result in the affirmation of the lower verdict, meaning there would be no Supreme Court ruling on it. The ruling would be basically that the lower court decision stands, meaning that we're not going to have any really good decisions. We're not going to have any decisions that have any import if there's a tie. Do you see what I'm saying? So all of these important decisions coming down the pipe here are going to be for naught because there will be a tie. That's what I'm concerned about. And then what we have to wait again for those cases to come up to the Supreme Court level, and then we'll have a decision.
Doesn't it negate look, there are three equal branches of government. That's what the Constitution guaranteed. So doesn't this negate the third branch by not having nine judges?
You could make that argument, but who's going to decide on it? The Supreme Court?
Well, I think I should decide on it.
Well, maybe we do a fourth branch of government. It's the Cochran branch.
It's the Steve branch. I understand in principle what the hardcore rights argument is on this, but timing sucks. You know, you got to live with it. Obama doesn't get reelected to be president for 7 years, and every argument the far right has brought up is ridiculous. And by the way, I'll say this again because I have to say it all the time, so I save your thumbs. Everybody that wants to text to say, okay, you're a liberal weenie, just read what I wrote in the blog because I slam both sides. And listen to the show. I slam both sides because I'm sick of both parties. If the Democrats were in this opposite position, they'd be saying the same thing. So how about we just honor the Constitution and we go through the process?
Well, and here's my concern. I mean, I think you're right. I think that we need to make sure the branch of government, the third branch of government, is fully stocked with people. That's what we're supposed to have. There's a purpose for having 9 people instead of 8. But listen, are people going to get up in arms about this? I hope they do. I hope they get mad at their senators for not confirming a candidate. But I just don't think people care about the Supreme Court. I think it's something that they hear about, but it's not real to them. It doesn't affect their lives. They don't think it affects their lives, but it actually does. When it comes to voting rights, when it comes to abortion, gay rights, gay marriage, those are things that are fundamental to a lot of people. So I hope people get excited about it. I hope they participate in the process and try to get their senators to do what they think is right.
It has to go that way in the long run. Andrea had an idea yesterday. There's two things that thoughts. These are the long-term thoughts we had. Andrea thought, we were talking about this yesterday. Mm-hmm. Couldn't we get someone to bring a lawsuit demanding action on this to be taken to the Supreme Court to make the Supreme Court decide to
right.
force the Supreme Court to fill the position?
We were talking about that. When we were trying to solve the world's problems after the show, Karen, yeah, I said, can someone sue? And then you said, Steve, well, who are you going to sue?
Yeah.
You can't sue the government.
But then,
and we have to have what we call standing, which means you have to have a dog in the fight in order to bring a lawsuit. And just being a U.S. citizen and not liking the fact that we have 8 Supreme Court justices may not rise to that level. So it is interesting. I mean, we're hearing all the pundits talking about what could be done, and no one really has a good idea about this.
There's a little bit of a knothole, if you will, that was brought up yesterday, which is an interesting thing. January 3rd is when the new Senate would be seated. So let's say a Republican wins the election for president, but the Democrats take the Senate back. They would be in office as of January 3rd. The President Obama, wouldn't leave until January 20th, which means for 17 days prior to the inauguration of a new Republican president, he could push it through anyway.
Yeah, I did read that, and that's an interesting little door he would have. Who knows what's going to do? I mean, the only thing we know is Obama is going to do what he says he's going to do, which is going to be nominate somebody. He's probably going to nominate somebody who's got great credentials, who's on both sides of the aisle, who's probably got, you know, maybe a minority because he's into diversity, and he's always said that that's what one of his goals. And we're going to see a lot of fighting, and we're going to see a lot of stalling. And then someone's going to get really angry about it and do something about it or not. But, you know, listen, if the Democrats win the presidency, we're going to have a lot of appointments. If Hillary Clinton wins, she's going to have at least probably 3 appointments during her term. We've got a lot of older justices. So one way or the other, there's going to be changes on the Supreme Court in the next year and a half.
6:48, we'll come back with the criminal on staff, Mary Sandberg, and try to get her some sort of legal representation from Karen Conti before she is thrown in jail and the key is thrown out with her. I don't want to see that happen. We're trying to find a cake with a file in it right now for you, as a matter of fact, because we don't like your chances. Karen Conti, at K Conti Law. And her phone number, 312-332-7800, Fear 800, if you'd rather spell it out. I was always amused by that. We've asked Mary Sandberg to join us. She produces the opening bell and also does a fine job around here. We're not sure what she does, I'll be honest with you. But Mary was minding her own business. She wasn't hurting anybody and then ran a red light. And where was this again?
Like Staten, Illinois. On my way to work, Karen.
So as her attorney, because I've just hired you as her attorney, she has to show up. There's a court. It's a mandatory court appearance. Why would that be?
Well, Well, you know, usually get an option of whether to pay the fine go to traffic school. So they want to see you. And, I really don't know why, but usually in more serious offenses, they want you to come to court. Maybe they're considering this a more serious offense. I take it there was no accident involved, correct?
There was no accident. There were a couple other cars stopped at the red light, so I may have gone to the left of them to go up to the red light in the oncoming lane to look right or left and then drive through.
Yeah, you know, I guess they're probably putting this in a little bit more serious offense than some of the other ones. But, you know, you have some options. I mean, you could hire a lawyer if you're concerned about it. If you've got other offenses, you might want to do that. But generally speaking, you're going to want to plead to supervision, and you'll go to traffic school and probably pay a small fine. But then after a certain number of months with a clean record, that will be erased from your record, so you won't have a conviction. So that's probably your best option.
We haven't talked about priors. What sort of priors do you have?
Well, the last thing I had was about 5.5 years ago, I may have gotten a speeding ticket for 101 in a 55.
Hold on a second.
Ooh.
Mario Andretti, how'd you do 101 in a 55?
I was on the Edens on my way into work when I used to work for a different morning show.
Right.
And I don't know. I was kind of jamming to some tunes and drinking a Coke and eating some oatmeal and...
Mary, did you feel threatened?
What kind of wildlife are you leaving?
Mary, did you feel threatened, though? Was there a car near you where you felt threatened or scared?
No.
That you were trying to get away from?
No, I was kind of surprised my car goes that fast because it's like a big SUV. So I was just as shocked as, you know, when they're asking why I was going so quickly.
I got nothing.
101 and a 55.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's 5.5 years ago. Would that have come up when the cop was writing a ticket?
No, that shouldn't be relevant at all. That should be.
It's relevant to me. She's a danger to society.
Well, I'm increasing my retainer as I'm listening here.
Okay, wait. I have a question. I just want to. Can we go back over this again? So you have two cars in front of you in the right-hand lane. You went left around them and cut in front of them to make the right-hand turn.
Well, to go through the red light, yes.
Yeah,
that is what I did.
Okay, that's why you got the ticket. I'm not even a cop, and I know that.
Hold on a second. There were two cars in front of you.
Waiting at the red light.
And you went around them on the left side and then through the red light?
I looked right and left first, and then I went through. But I also had to use the restroom.
Yeah, well, that'll fly.
He didn't seem to care that I had to use the restroom, so...
The fact, Karen, and you've represented a lot of terrible people, the fact that she's cute when she's telling the story that she's about to go to jail, does that help her?
It just might. I would say maybe you want to bring a lawyer to court on this one.
Well, and Karen, I called the office yesterday to ask, I just wanted to know the price range of the ticket, and they said it's completely up to the judge. They couldn't give me... It's not $100. It's not $300. It's whatever the judge thinks, which really made me nervous.
Well, and
you know what'll help you, though? Telling the story on this show.
Yes. Or crying.
You know what's interesting is when you have an attorney, the judge goes real easy on you because he knows that you've paid a lawyer a good sum of money.
Okay.
So it's kind of an interesting twist to the whole thing. But listen, you know, I think supervision is the way to go, and I think you should be very polite. I think you should dress nicely. I think you should be kind to everybody.
And cry.
I think you should talk to the prosecutor, you know, say that, you know, you feel bad about this, but you'd like to get this off your record, and you'll probably walk away with supervision, and then you have to amend your ways.
You gotta pay.
Yeah,
can we talk about something here? Can we talk about the fact that even if you have to pee, you can't drive around two cars and through a red light?
I know. The thing is, I mean, I deserve the ticket because I sometimes go through that light on other days as well. So,
oh my gosh, the omissions that are coming out here. Is this
like the worst thing an attorney could ever hear is to have the defendant just be confessing to everything?
You know, this might help you, but I would leave your car running in the front by the front door.
That's a good idea. Double park, too, when you pull up. All right, so listen, it's been great having Mary Sandberg here. Check the Tribune Media job postings later today because when she's locked up, there may be an opening. Karen, how do we get a hold of you again?
You can give me a call at 312-332-7800 or email me at kconti@kcontilaw.com.
Have a great day.
All right.
Thank you for the education.